to Psalm chapter 5. We read this scripture last week. Psalm chapter 5. Started a message last week. That'll be a little series titled, How to Come to the House of God. How should we come to God's house to worship? Now it says in Psalm 5 and verse 4, For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Now, he's describing those that are against God, that lie, that are deceitful, that engage in iniquity. And the descriptions he's given there is what I was before I was saved. That description fits me. Before the Lord Jesus Christ changed my heart, my mind, my will, changed my purpose for living, the desires that govern my life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm so glad to tell you today that I am not what I once was. Because I was a horrible, wretched, hell-bound sinner, worthy and deserving of the hottest place in the lake of fire for my sins. But God intervened. God changed my heart 39 years ago. He opened up my eyes and my understanding. He opened my heart. He made me willing in the day of His power. And everything changed. I used to think of going to church as something that it was just a dread. I didn't even want to do it. When I was a kid and my parents said, we're going to church today, I thought, why? Now, we didn't go that much. But when we did, man, I hated it. I can't even remember one sermon growing up that the Campbellites preacher preached. Couldn't tell you even one of them. But I'll tell you, when the Lord got a hold of me and He changed me, He gave me repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, everything changed. Now you can't keep me out of the house of God. Now I want to come. Now you may be saying that's because you're the preacher. But you know what? Before I ever pastored a church, God gave me grace to be faithful, to come to the house of God. I know this. The Lord changed me. I'm not what I should be. But I know that I want to serve Him. And part of serving Him is coming to the house of God. And you'll notice that the difference between the wicked that David was describing. He says in verse 7, But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Entirely different mindset, worldview. He said, Lord, I come here because of I acknowledge your mercy to an old wretched sinner like me. I'm going to come to your house in the multitude of your mercy, thinking of your grace, the way that you've pitied me and saved me and forgiven me. When I come to the house of God, I'm coming because I realize the great work that you've done in my heart, my life. And he said, I'm going to worship with reverence and fear. And I want to be led by you. Lord, I don't want to be led by the wicked anymore. I don't want to be deceived by sin and ungodliness. You lead me now in the way of righteousness. That's how he came to the house of God. Now, last Sunday, we started the first point that you ought to come to the house of God prepared for worship. Now, I got everybody hungry last week when I talked about how all the preparation that goes into when I make fajitas and rice and for, by the way, we're having that today. And I worked it all up yesterday. When I get home from church today, all I got to do is cook the meat and the rice, and we're going to be ready. I had a young preacher said that he listened to the thing on sermon audio, and he shared it on his Facebook and said, by the way, I really want some fajitas now. Again, it's all about preparation. If you're going to be successful at anything in life, it requires forethought, planning, preparation. And certainly, when it comes to the house of God, we shouldn't come here carelessly, without thought, without preparing our hearts and our minds. So last week we dealt with how you can be physically prepared. Does anybody remember that? Did you do any of it? Don't raise your hand and say you didn't. But I want us to start applying these things. But secondly, this is so important. You've got to be mentally prepared for worship on the Lord's Day. When you come to the house of God, when you come to worship, you got to make sure your mind is right. All true worship begins with exalted thoughts of God Almighty. You ought to read all the praise psalms, like from 140 to 150, and see how his heart and his mind are engaged in thinking upon the great God of heaven and earth. He thinks upon God as his creator, as the sovereign over all the universe, the master who's all-powerful, who is omnipotent, all-knowing. You'll see that theme all through the praise song. When you come to the house of God, you need to discipline your mind to think exalted thoughts of God, to think deeply upon God. As you prepare to come to God's house, prepare your mind with Scripture, with meditation. You ought to read your Bible every morning. especially about on Sundays, because I teach a Sunday school lesson, I preach Sunday morning, and I preach Sunday night. Early Sunday morning is a review for me. But I always read a psalm, a whole psalm, every Sunday. The other days of the week, I read a lot more of my Bible. But you ought to have your mind right by reading some scripture before you come to the house of God. And then think upon God before you ever get here. Learn to concentrate and to focus upon God before you come to the house of God, and then while you're worshiping in the services. This isn't being taught, the discipline of the mind. Most people's minds are so governed by television, by the internet, by social media. Very rarely anymore do people actually think thoughts. People don't think anymore. They let everything else and everybody else do their thinking for them. Discipline yourself to think your own thoughts about God. You've got to get your mind right. You've got to determine that when you come to the house of God, you are going to be fully engaged. That you're going to be attentive during the worship service. As prayer is offered, concentrate on seeking the Lord with your heart, along with the brother who is praying. How many times a brother's called upon to pray, do you just kind of, after about four words, you drift into your own little world? Till you hear amen. Oh, yeah, amen. I'll never forget the way Aaron was, my youngest son. He's not here today. When he was a kid, he figured it out. The best sleeping times were praying, when people were praying. And he'd look so pious and so holy. He'd bow his little head. And you knew something was wrong when he started drooling a little bit. When everybody else, when the amen came, but he's still praying. See? He completely turned it off, see? And there's times when you and I do that. We've got to discipline our mind. Prayer is holy conversation with God Almighty. Certainly, we ought to be engaged. Our spirit should be united with the brother that's praying. As you sing, think deeply upon the songs, the words, the meaning of the hymn, how it relates to God and your relationship to Him. Now I'm going to make you feel guilty. What was the last song we sung about? Cleanse me, O God. Now, I personally know the man that wrote that song. He lives in Illinois, Joe Martinez. I've heard him sing many, many times. But I tell you, that's a powerful, very thoughtful song. And it's something that ought to prepare us. A lot of times we sing without giving much thought. I want us to change that routine. As we sing, let's discover the meaning of the words. Let it go down deep into our hearts. Let it affect us as we worship. But it takes concentration. It takes a renewed focus. And while the preacher is preaching, I have no idea. Right now, you all look pretty attentive because you're afraid I'm going to call on you some way. Well, I'm not going to. Probably not. I do love calling down Brad, though. I enjoy that. Listen, how many times when the preacher's preaching, you're looking at him, but your mind is on pork chops or on the bill you forgot to pay or something you got to do at work? Or so often, we've learned how to just turn it off. And we are so easily distracted. This is so true. I mean, people can go to a ball game. I love, man, the few times I've been to Ohio State football games, you talk about somebody that's fully engaged. I've gone with Josh, and I've gone with Aaron. And I'm telling you, we just have the time of our life there. And it's like, I don't want to, we're just engaged the whole time, even during halftime. 3-4 hours just paying good attention of everything's going on. Yet somebody, we come to the house of God, we can't even give 30 minutes, 45 minutes to receive instruction from the Word of God. I used to, when I was a young preacher, there was a little old woman. It's probably good that our Sister Austin, I'll never forget her. I used to aggravate her husband something awful. He was real prim and proper, and I wasn't. And we were the kind of the ushers and greeters and everything at the church. But when I'd get my opportunity to preach, sometimes I'd go a little over. Now, you wouldn't know that by me now. But I'd tend to be somewhat long-winded. And old Sister Austin, if I was really going over maybe 5-10 minutes, I'd see her back there going. I mean, she was like, "Are you getting a signal, Tommy?" That's what she called me. When we come to the house of God, let's be engaged. Let's discipline our minds so that we can honor God with our thoughts while we're in the house of God. Don't let your mind be distracted by all kinds of rabbit trails. Focus. William Gurnall, the old Puritan, said this: "Thou must be an attentive hearer. He that is awake, but wanders with his eye or heart, what does he but sleep with his eyes open?" Yeah, your eyes are open, but are you paying any attention? Thomas Watson said this. By the way, get your naps out before you come to church. Get them out. Listen to this. Thomas Watson said, "Take heed of drowsiness in hearing. Drowsiness shows much irreverence. How lively are many when they are about the world, but in the worship of God, how drowsy. In the preaching of the word, is not the bread of life broken to you, and will a man fall asleep at his food? Which is worse, to stay from a sermon or sleep at a sermon?" Now, we're not as radical as the old Puritans were. They had people, the old Puritans had a couple of guys in the back of the church, and listen, they preached for 2 or 3 hours. And if you started dropping off, they had like a cane. And they'd kind of slap you on top of your head to kind of wake you up. Now, how'd you like that? Who would come back to a church like that? Huh? I mean, if Brad, who's, what are you, 6'5", had one of them poles and he slapped you on the head, you'd think, well, I ain't come back to that church. They really mean business. But really, it's so important that we really take heed to what's being preached and receive that instruction. So again, you have to get your mind right. You have to have your mind prepared, fully engaged, ready to concentrate, ready to focus when you come to the house of God. The next point, when you come to the house of God, be determined to make the most out of the time that's set aside for Sunday school and for worship services on the Lord's Day. When you think about it, the time spent in public worship is relatively brief in comparison to the rest of your week. You sleep a lot more than you worship publicly. You work a lot more. You probably engage in entertainment a lot more. When you come to the house of God, give it your best. Don't give your leftovers. Come ready. Don't fritter away the time devoted to public worship. Focus on your purpose for being here. Resolve to put all your energy, all your attention upon God. More often than not, we come to God's house haphazardly, half-hearted, and careless. Sadly, we often leave the same way we came in and are ill-prepared to face the spiritual battles of the week that lies ahead. You gotta come here determining to get something out of these services. We come to the house of God, we need to learn to say to our worldly thoughts and cares what Abraham said to his servants, "Abide ye here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." Did you come today saying to yourself, "I'm going to improve upon the time that God gives me to hear the Word of God. This is going to be a special time. I'm going to pray that God will make the Word powerful to me, and that I will show Him, God Almighty, reverence and respect, and I'm going to get something out of the services today." Now, I've got a long illustration, but it's so good, don't turn me off when I read it. One of the best books I've ever read, very practical, the title of it is Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald Whitney. And he's got a great illustration of how we often treat God when we come to church and we leave with little or no preparation or sense of worship. This is a powerful illustration. It's true. He said, one of the saddest experiences of my childhood happened on my 10th birthday. Invitations to the celebration were mailed days in advance to 8 friends. It was going to be my best birthday ever. They all came to my house right after school. We played football and basketball outside until dark. My dad grilled hot dogs and hamburgers while my mother put the finishing touches on the birthday cake, and it was time for the presents. Honestly, I can't recall even one of the gifts today, but I do remember the great time I was having with the guys who gave them to me. Since I had no brothers, the best part of the whole event was just being with the other boys. The climax of the grand celebration was a gift from me to them. Nothing was too good for my friends. Cost was immaterial. I was going to pay their way to the most exciting event in town. The high school basketball game. I can still see us spilling out of my parents' station wagon with laughter on that cool evening and running up to the gymnasium. Standing at the window paying for 9 25-cent tickets and surrounded by my friends. It was one of those golden moments in life. The picture in my mind was the perfect ending to a 10-year-old boy's perfect birthday. 4 friends on one side, 4 friends on the other. I would sit in the middle while we munched popcorn, punched each other, and cheered our high school heroes. As we went inside, I remember feeling happier than Jimmy Stewart in the closing scene of It's a Wonderful Life. Then the golden moment was shattered. Once in the gym, all my friends scattered, and I never saw them again the rest of the night. There was no thanks for the fun, the food, or the tickets. Not even a happy birthday, but I'm going to go sit with somebody else. Without a word of gratitude or goodbye, they all left without looking back. So I spent the rest of my 10th birthday in the bleachers by myself, growing old alone. As I recall, it was a miserable ball game. I tell that story not to gain sympathy for a painful childhood memory, but because it reminds me of the way we often treat God and worship. Though we come to an event where He is the guest of honor, it is possible to give Him a routine gift, sing a few customary songs to Him, and then totally neglect Him while we focus on others and enjoy the performance of those in front of us. Like my 10-year-old friends, we may leave without any twinge of conscience, without any awareness of our insensitivity, convinced we've fulfilled an obligation well. My last point this morning. When we come to the house of God, we must do so in a spirit of prayer. Pray that God would open your understanding so that you may behold wondrous things out of His Word. Pray for the preacher to speak the truth in power. Pray for those in attendance that God would be pleased to move in their hearts. Pray for the saints, the saved people, to be edified and growing, and for the lost to be saved. Pray for the Spirit of the Lord to have free rein in the praying, the singing, the preaching. Pray that everyone would be knit together in love for God, for one another, and for His holy word. Imagine what power would attend our worship services if entire congregations would earnestly pray and spiritually prepare to come to the house of God. Be praying. We pray because we can't accomplish things on our own. We need God's help, His power, His approval, His assistance. I've heard people say from time to time, I didn't really get anything out of the service today. I didn't get anything out of that sermon. Now, that just might be the cynical me. But when somebody says that, my first thought, it's probably due to the fact that you put very little into the service. And you were ill prepared. Instead of blaming the preacher or the atmosphere of the church, try looking internally. How about this for a change? Get rid of your bad attitude. How about that? I think you'll be pleasantly pleased to find that when you are spiritually prepared and in a prayerful attitude, your worship experience will be powerful and God-honoring. How is it with you? Do you recognize the need to prepare yourself for worship? Physically, mentally, spiritually? Do you have a focus and a determination? I pray that God will give you grace to think about these things. Take what's been preached today. Give some deep thought to it. And then endeavor to act on it. Endeavor to apply it. Now next week, we're going to get into your attitude when you come to the house of God. Because if you're going to come to the house of God, you got to have the right kind of attitude. And I'm going to show you from the Bible the attitudes that God prescribes to come to His house and to worship Him. Let's all stand.